Blockchain technology is mainly known as a sort of digital ledger to record cryptocurrency transactions like Bitcoin. But people are thinking about and coming up with other potential uses for the technology, including in the area of immigration. Amy Schmitz has been writing about this. She's a professor at the University of Missouri Law School. She spoke with our co-host Mark Brody via Skype about the idea of using blockchain in the world of immigration.
So, I mean, really, it's... And it's funny, I talk to my students about blockchain technology all the time, and you hear about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and all the different, they sound cool and exciting ways to use blockchain. But what people are not realizing, there's so many different social values and for social justice where it can come in handy. And one of those is with digital identity, and that could be created using blockchain technology.
So how exactly would it work?
Right. So imagine if you are stateless, if you are somebody who is in a post-conflict situation, you've lost your papers, you don't have a passport, you're not sure where you belong, right? And you get displaced. Well, a digital identity would essentially allow you to use a private key. The private and public key are what come together. And that's how you have your stake, so to say, within a blockchain ledger. A blockchain ledger is nothing more than a distributed ledger that pretty much has... You need a supercomputer, of course, to figure out the algorithms in between. But essentially, you would have the number. You would own your own identity that then could be linked up with the public key and could be put into this blockchain ledger. So imagine if you have a digital identity, you could go anywhere and use that digital identity and the different credentials that would be associated with that identity.
Well, how would you get some of these folks that digital identity? I mean, if you're, you know, someone who is fleeing violence in your home country and, you know, waiting at a border somewhere to gain entry to maybe claim asylum or something like that, I would imagine that computers and web access are probably not the first things that you're thinking about.
I know. And so that's why I'm a skeptic, too. And believe me, I've been calling and talking and doing research to try to learn as much as I can. And let's face it, this is not, you know, you dream big and you swing for the fences, but it's going to take a while to get there, right? And so you're trying to think about a solution to a major problem. And we have a long way to go before we can actually get it fully solved. But I will tell you this, what's exciting are people on the ground. And in talking to, for example, one individual was explaining to me how this might work. And essentially, the first step is to gain trust. And it's not easy to gain trust, right? And so it's not like you can just create a digital identity and have access to the internet and everything's going to be beautiful and easy. So a lot of these things we're talking about at small pilot projects to start with. And, you know, one idea that I've heard recently is to go through sort of medical experts and doctors who are on the ground and working there and using biometrics as a starting place for digital identity.
If you were to do that, though, I mean, how do you try to go about getting the medical records or getting medical histories for some of these folks? I mean, you have to, I guess it comes back to some degree to what you're talking about with trust, but also there's a technological aspect here, right?
Absolutely. And that's, again, these are all like sort of an early development to get. But here's the other thing is sometimes kind of your past doesn't matter as much as your future, meaning sometimes you have to have a starting place, right? And so there are some different, you know, hospitals on the ground that are basically the poor helping the poor.
Is this kind of arrangement potentially helpful to governments as well?
Yeah. I mean, the big problem here, though, again, is definitely technology and making sure that you do have access to the internet because you do need that. And that's going to be, although it is growing, I mean, it is growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, it's amazing. You can oftentimes there's no clean water or food to eat, but there's the internet. I mean, but you're still going to run into areas that are so remote where you don't have access. But if you do, and you have a way to sort of provide some sort of way to track and to add information into the ledger and be able to carry that with you, it would be tremendously helpful. I do believe the United Nations is working in this direction, and there's a lot of different pilot projects that are being developed. But again, it's being developed.
So if you had to guess, how likely or unlikely do you think it is that this technology is something that ultimately will be used? And if you think it will be used, what kind of time frame do you think we might be looking at to get it more than just sort of a pilot program, which it sounds like it's where it is now?
Now, if I could perfectly predict all of these things, I would possibly have a book. The book would be written. It would have a really, really cool title, and I would be famous. I would love to know exactly the answer, especially as a professor, right? I think if you can establish the cooperation that would be necessary, the technology that would be necessary, I think you could help a lot of people and a lot of stateless refugees and really see how technology could be used for social justice, which I think would be really, really awesome. So I'm very hopeful that there's a future for this and that it can help people. Because imagine, I mean, if you can also, one of the exciting ways that it could be used is your credentials. So if you're a displaced individual who's a trained nurse, for example, and your credentials were housed in your distributed ledger for your digital identity, then wherever you go, you could take that with you and you wouldn't have to be starting all over again every time you end up at a new location. And I just think there's great promise there. So in terms of, do I think it should happen? Yes. Do I think it will happen? I hope. Do I know when it will happen? I'm not sure.
That's Amy Schmitz, a professor at the University of Missouri Law School, speaking with our co-host, Mark Brody.